Dolly, written by Susan Hill and read by Cameron Stewart.
Part 1. Chapter 1. It was a November afternoon when I returned to Iot Lock and saw that nothing had changed. It was as I recalled it from 40 years earlier, the sky as vast, the fen as flat, the river as dark and secretly flowing as it had been in my mind and memory. There had sometimes been sunshine, the river had gleamed and glinted, the larks had soared and sung on a June day, but this was how I knew it best. This landscape of dun and steel, with the sky falling in on my head, and the wind keening, and the ghosts and will-o'-the-wisps haunting my childhood nights. I drove over Hoggett's Bridge, seeing the water flow sluggishly beneath, and across the flat, straight road, past the old lock-keeper's cottage, abandoned now, but then the home of the lock-keeper with a wen on his nose and one glass eye, who looked after his sluices and his eel-traps in sullen silence. I used to steer clear of Mr. Norrie, of whom I was mortally, superstitiously afraid. But the blackened wood and brick cottage was empty, and the roof fallen in. As I went by, a great bird with ragged wings rose out of it and flapped away, low over the water. I could see far ahead to where the fen met the sky and the tower of Iot Church, and then the house itself shimmered into view, hazy at first in the veils of rain, then larger, clearer, darker. The only trees for miles were the trees around the churchyard and those close to Iot House, shading it from sight of the road, though few people, now as ever, were likely to pass by. I parked beside the church wall and got out. The rain was a fine drizzle, lying like cobwebs on my hair and the shoulders of my coat. Mine was the only car, so unless she had parked at the house, I was the first to arrive. That did not surprise me. I pushed open the heavy, greened wood of the gate and walked up the path to the church door. Crumpled chicken wire had been used to cover the arch and keep out birds, but it had loosened, and old twigs and bits of blackened straw poked through where they had still managed to nest. I lifted the iron handle, twisted it, and the door creaked open. The cold inside the porch made me catch my breath. Beyond the inner door, inside the church itself, it was more intense still, and smelled of damp stone and mould. It seemed to be the cold of centuries, and to seep into my bones as I stood there. I did not remember anything about the church, though I was sure I must have been there on Sundays with my aunt. I had a folk memory of the hard, polished pews against my bony little backside and legs, for I had been a thin child. It was dull and pale, with uninteresting memorial tablets and clear glass windows that let the silvery daylight in onto the grey floor. Even the lion and unicorn, the only touch of colour in the church, painted in red and faded gold and blue on a wooden panel, and which might have taken the attention of a small boy, was quite unfamiliar. Perhaps my memories had been of another church altogether. I wandered about, half expecting to hear the door open and see her standing there, but no one came, and my footsteps were solitary on the stone floor. The lights did not come on when I clicked the switch, and the church was dim in the sullen November afternoon. I made my way out again, but as I stood looking out at the path and the graveyard, I had a strange and quite urgent sense that I ought to do something, that I was needed, that I was the one person who could rescue... Rescue what? Who? I could not remember when I had had such an anxious feeling, and as I walked out it became stronger, almost as if someone were tugging at my sleeve and begging me to help them. But there was no one.